WHYY.
I'm Arnie Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. A Blue Ribbon panel was commissioned last year by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter to evaluate and review the Department of Licenses and Inspection, L&I. This was following the collapse of the Salvation Army thrift store at 22nd and Market Streets that killed six people and injured 13. A demolition project next door led to the tragedy. A number of people have been arrested. An L&I inspector who worked at the site committed suicide, and there have been several investigations about what went wrong. The panel's report, Safety First and Foremost, calls for a number of reforms and changes at L&I. Our topic for this hour of Radio Times, and let me introduce our two guests. Here with us in our Philadelphia studio is Peter Vira. He's executive director of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to Evaluate Department of Licenses and Inspections. He's a Philadelphia attorney with the law firm of Greenblatt Pierce. Peter Vira, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us on the show. Also with us is Glenn Corbett, and he's chairman of the Mayor's Special Commission. He's also an associate professor of fire science and chair of the Department of Protection Management, and that's at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. And Glenn Corbett, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're very welcome. Peter, let me begin with you, only because you and I are here in Philadelphia. I do want to go back to that terrible day. This is June 5th, 2013, when six people were killed, 13 were injured, a wall collapse at the thrift store at the Salvation Army there. What caused that collapse?
Okay, not quite correct. The wall collapsed there. A building was being demolished right beside it, adjacent to the...
Right.
The Salvation Army store, and it was a private contractor, it was a private building, but it was licensed under the oversight of L&I, and the license was approved by the city with some supervision. The collapse of the building took place June the 5th. There was one remaining wall, and it collapsed on the Salvation Army store right next door, the thrift shop. Demolished it and pushed that store into the basement, completely collapsed and killed six people, injured 13 or 14 altogether, and one of the persons who was killed was the daughter of the treasurer of Philadelphia.
That's right.
The mayor instituted this commission. There are a number of other investigations, but the mayor instituted this independent commission to look. The collapse was just part of it. He said, look at the workflow of L&I in this process, but also take a long, hard look at the Department of L&I and tell me, give me some recommendations what I should do with it. And the commission, which was all engineers or experts or work demolition people, no politicians, except one.
On purpose, right?
I think so. And no politicians except one. It was a city council member who was on the committee and city council that examined this. And it took us, we were given 8 months, and it took us 10. And as I went along, I added more persons, more experts. And we looked at it. We gave it, L&I, a management review, much like a major accounting firm would do.
Well, let me go to you, Glenn Corbett, and even go to this executive summary that I'm holding in my hands here, saying, after an extensive 10-month review, the Special Independent Advisory Commission found that the terrible building collapse was a symptom of a larger, longstanding series of problems. Can you expand on that?
Well, thank you, Marty. Yes, we actually had an historian, Scott Knowles from Drexel, on our commission as well, and we took a look back all the way back to the 1950s when L&I was actually created. And although back then perhaps it was well-intentioned, there were issues of corruption, inspectors who were taking bribes and what have you, what's happened is we've had, almost six decades, basically, of just layer upon layer of responsibilities that have been added to L&I, and that's effectively diluted their core function, which is building safety. And so from our perspective, this didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen even a couple years ago. This has been a long time in coming. And so our report actually calls for a break from the past, creation of a new Department of Buildings, one in which that is the central function of the organization. So Again, a long history here, you know, again, perhaps well-intentioned 60 years ago, but today just completely diluted within this incredible large organization that is given so many responsibilities, from issuing permits for handbills that are given out on Chestnut Street to precious metals that are sold in town to just a myriad of other kind of issues that in most cases have absolutely nothing to do with public safety or particularly building safety.
In fact, the word I ran across, Peter, part of this reporting is mission creep, that what was started 50, 60 years ago, licenses and inspection, now has just so many added responsibilities. Mission creep.
That's correct. It is a... it's a jumble of, it's a management nightmare, and you can't blame, well, you can blame the management, present management for not doing well, but give them some credit. They were handed this bowl of jelly, and it's just gotten worse as it goes. It is a management nightmare, and everybody who has come in, I brought a person from industry in, from a large corporation, who did a survey. And they said, this is you just have to start all over again with this.
But are you saying, and I'll put this first to you, Peter Vira, are you saying that what happened on that terrible day, as I said, June 5th, 2013, is the responsibility of L&I?
We don't say that. Okay. We don't say that. We say this. We made some findings. We were very, very careful about what we said. And I will not quote or say anything beyond the words of that report. We found that the city did not respond to several warnings that the demolition was a dangerous operation and could and did lead to dire consequences. There are certainly problems with the procedure they were following, but they were following the procedure at the time.
Do you want to add to that, Glenn Corbett?
Yeah, I think, you know, from our perspective, the mayor asked us to look at sort of the L&I piece of 22nd Street as far as the protocols, procedures, those kind of things, in which we've laid out. We do recognize that a lot of work was done post June 5th, 2013, of upgrading the demolition regulations. However, we also note a particular incident that occurred in the just this past winter at Third and Market, right off what I guess you could call the historic square mile there around Independence Hall. And to make a long story short, we had a situation in which several buildings were under demolition at that intersection, basically, were deemed to be imminently dangerous. Those are ones that perhaps we have 400 or 500 of those in the city that from what we've learned. But in any case, these were imminently dangerous buildings that were being taken down. And fortunately for the folks in that neighborhood, another disaster was averted because we effectively had another collapse occur at that location, and I personally went back and looked at the paperwork that looked at, you know, the paperwork that was filed, and it was certainly much more extensive than that file for 22nd and Market. But what was really glaring was the fact that Third and Market didn't have really any kind of very detailed protocols for protection of the public, specifically people walking by, people driving by. There was virtually no information, specific information on that. So we basically in our report said that, hey, you know, that's at the core of what happened to 22nd Market. We need a much better detailed set of regulations, for example, that call out for the actual location of the barriers, how far back they have to be, the height, all those kind of things in much greater detail. And particularly one of the things we noted also was the fact that the streets department actually has a separate permit, of course, when you're doing this type of work, and in fact requires lanes of traffic to be maintained open. And what we argue for is the fact that when you have particularly a building like this, these set of buildings are imminently dangerous, that entire area basically be closed. Buildings, surrounding buildings, vacated as necessary, assuming that you're going to have to assume a worst-case scenario in which the entire full height of the wall comes down, and basically provide for much higher level of safety, particularly for the people that are passing by.
Well, Peter Vira, as we all know, in Philadelphia, there are thousands, tens of thousands of vacant and abandoned buildings, not all of them dangerous, but nonetheless certainly can be a risky situation. What What do other cities do? Did this panel look at what other cities do in dealing with building safety?
Yes, it did. The number is about 25,000 vacant buildings. And the problem is that we don't know a great deal about of those buildings as to who the owners are. Answer to your question, yes, we surveyed a number of cities across the United States, older and newer. The newer cities out in the West don't have this problem. We mentioned vacant buildings, and they just kind of
they don't have the problem of vacant buildings.
Yeah, they just laughed it off. The cities in the East do. Cleveland does. Baltimore County, I should say, and Boston. Yes, they have the same problem, but not as many. Certainly not. I think Philadelphia is like fourth in the country
when it comes to vacant buildings.
It does.
So that adds, I guess, another level or layer of responsibility for a department like LNI.
Wait, that became a major subject. We debated whether we should spin off or recommend another complete department and appoint a czar for vacant buildings. But then we realized it's purely a management problem, but somebody had to run it and be on top of it from the beginning. And one thing we learned, that there was nobody in charge. I was questioning a number of the folks who were in charge of the vacant buildings. And I said, look, pretend that this is a corporation and I'm the CEO. Pretend I'm Lee Iacocca. Send in the guy who's in charge of these buildings so I can really give it to him or throw him out the window. He said, Mr. Vira, we don't have any one person. There's seven or eight people you would have to speak to. Well, right there is a big problem. There's no line of command, and there's a number of fingers in the pie, and there's another people from the city. We recommended a task force to be chaired by the commissioner of LNI directly. He's responsible, and he's going to share responsibility with other people, but it goes right to him.
So part of the problem, Glenn Corbin, about a minute before we're going to take our first break here, it sounds like bureaucratic problems within LNI.
Yes, and that's why we're calling for a much more streamlined, really primary focus of building safety, new organization, basically. This is what we believe will put that on the front burner. And, you know, these other issues are important, but these are the most important ones. And I think after the break we can talk about staffing and things like that, because there are other major issues as far as creating this new department.
Well, let's take that short break, and then we will get back to our conversation, talking with Glenn Corbett. He's chairman of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to evaluate the Department of Licenses and Inspection, and the mayor called for this Blue Ribbon panel just about a year ago in response to the tragic deaths and injuries that took place in June of 2013 at 22nd and Market Street. Six people killed, 13 injured, a demolition project next door to the Salvation Army, causing all sorts of problems and raising all sorts of questions and concerns. Also talking with Peter Vira, and he's executive director of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We'll be right back.
Temple University Libraries are proud to support WHYY. This fall, Temple University Libraries present lectures exploring digital cultures. From October 14th through 16th, the series will present a residency with visiting artist Micah Cardenas. All events in Cardenas's residency are open to the public with no ticket required. A complete schedule of the Temple University Libraries Digital Cultures Lecture Series is available online at library.temple.edu. That's library.temple.edu.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Rachmaninoff with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Yannick Nézet-Séguin leads the youthful First Symphony. And Jean-Yves Thibaudet plays Kachaturian's Piano Concerto. Tickets at philorc.org or 215-893-1999 today, this Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center. Rachmaninoff with Yannick Nézet-Séguin and the Philadelphia Orchestra.
The Breast Center of Doylestown Hospital is proud to support WHYY, offering personalized care plans and advanced surgical techniques, including the newest type of breast-conserving surgery. The specialists of the Breast Center of Doylestown Hospital are your resource for comprehensive breast care close to home. Pink Party, a breast health event in Warrington, Pennsylvania on Monday, October 13th, will feature a health discussion, therapy demonstrations, refreshments, and more. Details at dh.org/pinkparty.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen talking with Peter Vira and Glenn Corbett. They're part of, in fact, they headed up a Blue Ribbon panel commissioned by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter to examine the Department of Licenses and Inspections. And this was following the Salvation Army building collapse that killed six people. And that was in June of 2013. This Blue Ribbon panel just released their findings, their reports, their recommendations, our topic for this hour of Radio Times. And again, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Glenn, let me go back to you because there are a number of recommendations. One that's gotten a fair amount of press is the idea of splitting LNI, essentially splitting LNI into two different functions. Explain that for our listeners.
Sure. Thank you, Marty. Yes, this is probably the most important of all the 37 recommendations that we made in the report. And that is to pull out the building safety function and put it under a new, we're calling Department of Buildings. The remaining function we would put into another new department called the Department of Business Compliance. Those are for all the business compliance for all the permits that are issued have nothing to do with building safety. Because, again, from our perspective, we've got to make building safety the number one priority here. And right now it can't be because of this 60-year-old bureaucracy that was created so many years ago.
But as you and I were talking, Peter, during the break, is that if you don't have good leadership, if you don't have a good management structure, then you can do lots of reforms and changes. But if you don't have the right personnel, are you really going to get the kind of reforms you're looking for?
Well, I'm glad you picked that up because I brought in I brought him in, the other people joined me to bringing him in, a management consultant who had from a large corporation came in and went down the line, and he came up with the conclusion, yes, this is bad organization, but it's bad leadership. And I'm a former Navy officer. My chief of staff, Ned Dunham, was a Navy officer, and we always use the expression that if it's something bad in the Navy, you could be relieved of your command simply because it's not going right, and you can't blame it on your men. A problem here, this was management. There is no question that the organization was a chaos, and the persons who were running it were not to blame. But there was a lack of management and not the best leadership.
Well, Glenn Corbett, though LNI or no other government agency is the military or the Navy, as Peter Vira just described. I mean, you've got this is a complicated bureaucracy and management system as well.
Yeah, it is, but it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be fixed. I mean, I don't know of any other way to try to get the building safety function as the primary focus of this organization without creating this Department of Buildings. And I think it's important to note that, there in my mind, I've been in code enforcement for a very long time, and I don't really know of very many other cities, particularly any large cities like Philadelphia, in which the building safety function is sort of buried in this much larger organization. Just about every city in the country, the large and medium-sized cities, have a Department of Buildings. They may call it something different, but it's essentially a Department of Buildings that's led by a professional engineer or registered architect. And that, in our mind, was very important as well because you want the technical expertise at the very top of the organization. And we also, as Peter mentioned earlier, this being a public safety function, we also recommended, which the mayor has done already, to move it over under the deputy mayor for public safety because we feel that it's that important, that it's along with the police, along with the fire department, because that's a critical mission for the city, basically, and the citizens.
let me quote something from former L&I Commissioner Bennett Levin. This was in the Philadelphia Inquirer. In response to this report, he's quoted as saying, splitting the department is not the answer. Sometimes doing nothing is better than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Peter Vira, do you have a response to that?
If that's the best he can do, he's in bad shape. We put out some very, very solid recommendations. Very solid, very detailed as a result of a lot of study. For somebody to say, well, it's going to cost too much money, it'll be so forth, and it's not good, is not an answer. We put it out there. Tell us what you think of it, piece by piece. I that's a very superficial answer.
It would require, though, a charter change. If L&I were to be split into two different departments, that would require a charter change.
Permanently. The mayor can sign an order, executive order, right now and do it, but we would like a change down the road. It's going to require a charter change, and I think once the folks, the city council, take a long, hard look at it, they'll get there.
You think so? Even based on some of the response, I guess, of Council President Daryl Clark?
They hadn't really seen this. And some of that's, I hate to say that, it's a political season. And the Council President gave his announcement the very day, one half an hour before ours became public. We haven't heard anything from them since. And my answer is, tell us how you're going to fix this mess.
How much of this do you think is politics, Glenn Corbett? You're up there in New York. We're down here in Philadelphia. But from your perspective.
Well, I mean, anytime you call for a major change like what we're calling for, there's going to be folks, of course, that are, you know, used to the way the system is right now. They like the system the way it is right now. There's the other concern about cost. You know, that's certainly a major issue here. But we don't think, you know, there's separate issues besides creating the new department, you know, for staffing levels and things, which we can talk about later. But the actual creation of the department shouldn't be that expensive to do. And it certainly will put Philadelphia more in line with the rest of the country because, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's, very few cities that are organized this way as far as their building safety function. I have to say, too, that, to my knowledge, this is the first time a major building department in this country has been analyzed as deeply as we've done over the last 10 months. I've asked around friends that are in the code enforcement field, and they're not familiar with it. So I think what we do and what happens in Philadelphia, of course, I live in New Jersey, actually, so I don't really have any ability to vote or do anything on this myself. But I would hope that the citizens of Philadelphia would read the report, would study the recommendations we have and take a long, hard look and say, you know, look, we've got to move forward. We've got to bring the city of Philadelphia into the 21st century. We have to provide for not only safety, but predictability and consistency and capacity. Those are all things that we're calling for in this report, and we're hoping that we'll get the support not only of the citizenry and the city council, but all the other constituency groups, contractors, developers, and those folks as well.
You want to say something
yes,
to that, Peter?
Yes. We talked to a lot of people, several hundred interviews, persons inside, L&I, outside. Nobody thought it was working well. No one.
Including the people that work for L&I.
Yes. No one thought it was working well. So the remarks, well, it would be better to leave it in place, is silly. You've got to have effective change. Is it going to cost some money? Maybe. But let's go.
Will it cost some money?
I can't say that. We don't know because they're going to be moving persons around. Some persons will be transferred over. And it may. Some progress requires you to make big changes and cost money. If that's the test, Philadelphia is going to stand still in the swamp.
Well, we're talking about L&I licenses and inspections here in Philadelphia. They do have, as I understand, a $27.6 million budget, about 300 employees. And our guest, Glenn Corbett, who is joining us from New York, is chairman of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to evaluate the Department of Licenses and Inspections. Also with us, Peter Vira. He's the executive director of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission. We're talking about their recent report in response to the tragic building collapse. It happened in June 2013 at 22nd and Market Street, a demolition project taking place right next door to the Salvation Army thrift store. Six people were killed, something like 13 were injured, and raising a whole host of questions about building safety, demolition projects, and L&I. We want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. As my as I understand it, Glenn Corbett, this is, I think, the fourth investigation into what happened on that terrible day. City Council has looked into this. There's a grand jury that has been looking into this. The city controller looked into this. What is going to prevent this report from getting shelved somewhere?
Well, it's our hope, again, that, folks in the city will read it. And again, I'm not a Philadelphia resident, but I think if you went to anybody on the corner of Chestnut and 13th Street that, and you asked them, what about L&I, they would say that it's just a mess. As Peter mentioned earlier, the people within L&I believe it's a mess. There's a lot of hardworking people there and things, but when you have a situation where the staffing levels are low, we uncovered, you know, information that, leads us to believe that some of the inspectors have, you know, perhaps 600-700 inspections on their plate, and they're being asked to review every construction site within basically 15-20 days. And we know that's a physical impossibility to do that. It's a dire situation. And again, I from my perspective, you know, 22nd and Market was the precipitating event which led to the creation of our commission. Nancy Winkler played an incredibly important role here of advocating for a study. Our study is different than the others because although we look at a 22nd mark, we're looking much more holistically at the whole organization of L&I. And we're putting forth some pretty dramatic changes that people need to consider. And it's our hope that from an advocacy standpoint, other folks will join us in this call for the creation of the new Department of Buildings. We know Nancy Winkler herself you know, is advocating for it. She actually just created a new Twitter page to get the message out. I think it's Safe Buildings Philly. So in any case, we're hoping that we'll gather some steam with the people that at the end of the day are going to benefit from, you know, from not only increased safety but better efficiencies and things like that.
Peter, I'm looking at some of the recommendations. The city's new demolition requirements are major advances that must be vigorously implemented. So, yes, there are some new requirements, but the important thing is obviously making sure that they are put into place.
Yes, that's true. And as a result of the collapse, the city put some in immediately. The city council recommended some, and we don't think they go far enough, and we are and they're being adopted. There's no question about that. Is that you have to make them uniform, and they have to become an everyday event. If you look back, our conclusions on the 22nd Street, we're very careful, but the requirements were just ridiculous for tearing down a building, which is very dangerous. Not just tearing down your garage next door, but if 3, 4, 5, 6.
Especially when buildings are attached to each other.
Yes, it's a very dangerous process, and the persons who are expert at say you have to have done it before. Well, there was no requirement of that. There was no requirement of demonstrating what steps they would take in case of damages or in case of danger. They've rectified that. They're in the process of implementing a number of requirements. There are still some of them up in the air. But good for the city, and is they're working very hard at honing down those safety requirements and licensing a demolition.
And to you, Glenn Corbett, I mean, making sure that someone who is doing this job, and there are two people who have been criminally charged as a result of what happened at that site, 22nd and Market Street, is making sure these people are credentialed.
Right, and not only the people, but the company and all the from our perspective, the most important things, the safety site manager and things like that are actually at the site watching what's going on. Buildings under demolition, particularly those that the city identified as imminently dangerous, these are buildings that or in particularly bad shape that, you know, perhaps even a stiff wind could push some of them over, basically. And so it's critically important that we focus on not just the workers, which the city's done a pretty good job at that of raising the bar as far as, you know, the worker training and things like that, but also the public, again, passing by, people walking down the street. And there will be situations where some of these buildings in close proximity to others, it may be necessary to close the street. It may be necessary to vacate a building. And we're in our report, we're really pushing that agenda, basically. We're saying, look, in those cases, for example, Third and Market, you know, where you've got large buildings, you know, 3- and 4-story buildings that are particularly unstable, that those are the times that when you're using particularly heavy equipment, grapplers and things like that, that you actually need to not only vacate the surrounding buildings, but shut the street down as the heavy work actually commences, basically, to make sure that no one, in fact, is killed or injured.
Go ahead, Peter.
One of the problems in private demolitions, because this was a private demolition, is that cost is essential. If you tear down a building, and no matter how superb of a job you do or how bad of a job, at the end, there's simply a vacant lot. And so you don't get any award for that, whereas you've built a nice building, people would see it, you're rewarded. So what was occurring is that the impetus was to do it as cheap as possible. And when you do that, the oversight well, there's no oversight. There wasn't any oversight. And so the result of which is we must fight that. And the new licensing process aims to cut that down. As we interviewed some giants in this field, and they said to the commission, you know, you don't need to tell us. We know what we have to do, and the persons or the companies who hire us require that. Your problem is the fly-by-nights who come in and going to do it off the cuff and can simply, at the past, go in and put down $50 and get a license to demolish something and have absolutely no skill to do it.
And you're saying that must be stopped.
It has to be stopped. That everybody agrees to that.
Glenn, let me go back to you again. I'm looking at some of these recommendations. The responsibility for fire safety inspections should be transferred to the fire department. You're a fire safety expert, so let me give you a chance to flesh that one out.
Sure. When LNI was created back in the 50s, you know, one of the problems that had to do with the fire department, I guess, some issues of briberies and corruption and things. So all the inspection functions ended up in this new LNI organization, including the fire code. But if you look today, you look across the country, I tell you the truth, I've been in the fire field for over 30 years. I don't know of any medium or large size city that has the function of fire code enforcement transferred to someone, some organization other than the fire department. I mean, it's pretty logical that the fire department should have it. For your listeners, the fire code is essentially a maintenance code, right? It's a code that once a building is built and occupied, it sort of maintains a level of safety, obviously dealing primarily with fire protection, but some other things as well. And so the building code and the fire code go hand in hand. The building code says how to build it. The fire code says how to maintain it. So we've recommended it go to the fire department. We think, for example, we know that the building code function is very diluted with LNI. Well, I personally believe that the fire code function is even more diluted.
Wow.
And so by putting in the fire department, you get attention. You get, you know, basically focused attention on that issue. It gets the fire companies into buildings to review them, to inspect them, makes them more familiar with with their surroundings and things. And I think it's a win-win for everybody because we know some fire safety issues occurred even while our commission was in play here with the fire escape collapse in Rittenhouse Square and the food truck explosion as well.
And that's Glenn Corbett, who joins us along with Peter Vira. We're talking about a report. They're part of this Blue Ribbon Panel, a report looking at the Philadelphia Department of Licenses and Inspections, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waldron Mercy Academy, a private coeducational Catholic school, supports WHYY, offering childcare beginning at 3 months old, traditional pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, kindergarten, Montessori pre-primary, and 1st through 8th grades. Waldron Mercy Academy is located on a 35-acre campus in Marion Station. To learn more, there's an open house on October 26th at noon, 610-664-9847 or waldronmercy.org. Waldron Mercy Academy, celebrating 90 years in mercy.
Fox Chase Cancer Center is a proud supporter of WHYY. One of the newest advances in the fight against cancer is immunotherapy, a treatment that unleashes your body's own immune system so it can better fight cancer cells. Early results from studies at Fox Chase Cancer Center and other cancer centers show promise, even in patients who did not respond to other treatments. Learn more at 888-FOX-CHASE or foxchase.org. Fox Chase Cancer Center, part of Temple Health, your first choice in cancer care.
Tyler Park Center for the Arts supports WHYY, presenting Crafts in the Meadow Fall Invitational Juried Craft Show, October 18th and 19th at Tyler State Park, Bucks County, featuring works from more than 100 fine artists and craftsmen, representing a variety of artistic and functional mediums. Highlights include demonstrations, hands-on art experiences for all ages, music from John Beecher and the Common Ground, and more. For details and a list of artists and musicians, tylerparkarts.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, again talking with Glenn Corbett. He's chairman of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to evaluate the Department of Licenses and Inspections. That would be Mayor Michael Nutter here in Philadelphia. Glenn Corbett, also an associate professor of fire science, and he's the chairman of the Department of Protection Management at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and that's in New York. Here with us in our Philadelphia studio, Peter Vira, Executive Director of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to evaluate the Department of Licenses and Inspections. He's an attorney here in Philadelphia with the law firm of Greenblatt Pierce. And again, we've got calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Peter, we've got a lot of calls, people not specifically about exactly what we're talking about, but a number of calls of people just with interactions with LNI, feeling a lot of complaints about how they were treated, smaller projects within neighborhoods that they feel as if the LNI is not really functioning in a way that makes them feel secure in their neighborhood.
Well, we ran across that a lot. Many of those are the inspector's going to come and take a look at putting in their sink or something. Right. He's not there on time. There's no question that LNI at that level is very inefficient. We didn't spend a lot of time on that simply because that can change rapidly when you put in a more efficient process. And if it goes into the Department of Business Compliance, a lot of that will go away and will go to other agencies or that agency whose only concern is dealing with the consumer. We heard a lot of those, and you're going to hear more. You just go to LNI and you can see the amount of complaints that come in about that. It's a personal service agency, and building safety should not be confused with that.
And what I hear from both of you is that building safety has to be the top priority. I mean, if we're talking about LNI, that's their top priority.
That's correct.
Let me get some callers in. It looks like we have Andrew calling us from Pineville. And Andrew, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you. And I just wanted to applaud this entire effort for hiring Peter to be the executive director. I'm sorry, I forgot your last name.
But, Peter Vira.
My wife and I have owned a home in Philadelphia for about 8 years now in Center City. I've dealt with several different departments of the city. And as a young man, I actually worked in the unions here. But I can tell you that if Mayor Nutter hired you to, Peter, this is, to investigate every department, you would find, I think, that they're all being run exactly the same, very poorly. And I think even though Mayor Nutter had to hire you, unfortunately, people had to die to do that. But if he hired you to do the rest, he'd find out that he's not doing a very good job.
Well, you put a bunch of things on the table here. I want to make sure we stay focused on licenses and inspection. But
sure.
Sounds like, Peter, you have a fan out there. Go ahead.
What a guy. you're right. And I am sure that if you go through the other parts of the city, other departments, you're going to find the same problems. All of my counterparts on this commission said that the city is bound up. It's an old city with a lot of old things that's holding it back. I was on this mayor's transition team for the police force, and the police force is hamstrung by a series of old arbitration agreements. And it's holding the city back. Mm. It's holding it back, and one day they're going to have to take a long, hard look at it. And an examination such as we have done here with this department should be done with other departments.
Glenn, Andrew talked about people having to die, and yes, 6 people died and 13 people were injured. Can you say, though, if all your recommendations were followed, that people wouldn't have died on that terrible day?
Well, I don't think we can say that with any level of certainty. I mean, obviously, we learned from what happened there, and we would put, you know, the things that we're recommending. I mean, some of the regulatory changes that were made didn't come from us. I mean, they came in the immediate aftermath of that collapse. So, I don't want to hypothesize on that particular incident and things. But that said, I think we've got some solid stuff here that Peter mentioned earlier. That these are difficult issues. I mean, nothing's going to be easy trying to make this work, basically. But we know that the existing system doesn't work already. So, as what the caller pointed out, that that's why we said what we said. When Peter and I started the commission back in October, November of last year, this could have been the decision of a group of 25 of us, which were all volunteers, by the way. They're on this commission. My car is driven up and down the Jersey Turnpike many more times than I want to think about. But in any case, we decided that this was a singular opportunity to take a really careful look at a large city organization that needs a lot of help, and we did that, I told the mayor myself that that's a difficult thing to do, invite a bunch of people, particularly people that like me who don't even know him, to come in his backyard and start digging up skeletons in this, in the surrounding areas. So we think this report really sets the tone for. For the 21st century, for the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Just point out, your past questioner said we got hired. We got appointed. We weren't hired. We did it for free. And I went out I was forced to go out and get some other persons. And it's one person, I'll tell you, it would not have existed, this commission's report. It was a guy named Ned Dunham who sent me a note and said he's a lawyer. I know him from a long time. And said,
a Philly lawyer?
Philadelphia lawyer from a Philadelphia firm, and he called me and said, look, you and I go way back. This is not an idle gesture. I came to help you. He gave 60, 70 hours a week of this. He did. This law firm set aside time. It would not have occurred. There are several others who came from private industry, and everybody on this commission did. These are all workers. They have full-time jobs. And so it's remarkable the amount of time these folks put in. We didn't meet just once a month. At the end, the last 3 months, everybody on this commission was meeting every week someplace, 4, 5, 6 times.
But are you concerned all the hard work, as you mm-hmm. both have described, that went into this report, it will get chewed up by the political system in Philadelphia?
I don't think so. I think that the die is cast. As I said before, we have thrown down the gauntlet. Now answer that. Times past of sitting back and watching things like this again. You can say, well, it's too expensive. It's out in the open. Too many people are angry with L&I. Something is going to happen. They're going to have to deal with this. And we're going to make sure it goes on because we are in the process ourselves of contacting major corporate people, some foundations, to keep the word out that this is going to stay alive.
One thing I just want to have you say on the air, you were talking before the show began with me, Peter, about the fact that there have been a number of investigations, including this Blue Ribbon panel, but that L&I has not really done a serious investigation about what happened.
Well, it is curious that as soon as this occurred, I was surprised that there wasn't an internal investigation by LNI itself. It happens in corporations. It happens in other departments. Okay, find out what happened here. No, very little. They conducted a couple of interviews 2 days later. But after that, it fell to the wayside. That gives you an idea. Gives you an idea how this thing is managed.
Do you agree with that, Glenn?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that LNI didn't actually bring in an engineering firm, perhaps, to conduct an independent inquiry just on the issues of the collapse itself. You know, we were charged with just looking at the procedural and protocol parts of it, but I think there was some more, perhaps, that LNI certainly could have done in the wake of the collapse. I mean, that was on any building department anywhere in the country. If something like that happens, that's really, from our perspective, really needs the attention. And it did get it, but it didn't really get it primarily through LNI. It was through outside entities like ours.
And the old saw that they say, well, there was a number of investigations going on, so we didn't do it. That is hogwash. When I was a prosecutor, I would be looking at something. I'd go in and they say, Mr. Vire, go right ahead, but this is our organization. We must do this internally ourselves. And it didn't matter if the grand jury was doing something or the district attorney. It doesn't matter. This is a city agency, and a city agency has the responsibility to look at itself. It did not.
Let me read a tweet. To fix LNI, you need new blood, new workers, new attitudes, new work ethic, and a new way of doing business. I want to segue from that to one of your recommendations. The city should examine the job titles, pay scales, training, and career paths of current LNI and future Department of Buildings and Department of Business Compliance employees to make them more competitive with peer cities. Going back to you, Glenn Corbett, the idea is taking a fresh and new look at the staff at LNI.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of hardworking people there, and they're in a really bad situation. It's not their fault that they're, again, in this gigantic organization that's really, and their function is so diluted. But that said, we know that, as I mentioned earlier, the issues of staffing are really important in terms of the number of people, so that's one big issue. The types of people as well. To my knowledge, from what I've reviewed, looking at the staffing, we don't have on staff a mechanical engineer, an electrical engineer, a fire protection engineer on staff in the Philadelphia Department of Lights and Inspections. I mean, these are critical functions. So we're calling for sort of a major infusion of some higher technically qualified folks to sort of be the leaders within the organization. Of course, we call for the head to be a registered architect or a licensed engineer. We've talked about in the report the need for, again, the proper staffing levels and things. But from our perspective, if people want quality service, they want quality inspections, they want predictable turnaround times on plans, all those kind of things, you've got to have enough people to do it, and you have to have the properly qualified people do it. One little anecdote.
Sure.
The city does have, for example, some regulations for tower cranes. And up here in New York, your listeners may be familiar, we had several crane collapses years ago. Changed all the regulations here. And so when you look at Philadelphia, there are tower cranes. Those are the cranes that are actually attached to the side of a building, but the city has no permit requirements, for example, that we could find that have anything to do with the portable cranes, even though they may be gigantic, no permits. And from our understanding also, the city does not have any particularly certified or qualified individuals to actually inspect cranes. So there's a need for more technical capability. There's a need for higher staffing levels. And there's most certainly a need to bring the salaries of the existing people in line, because we met a lot of really disappointed people that, frankly, are looking for other jobs because, as someone told me, the LNI is sort of the pinata of Philadelphia, right? It gets beat up all the time. And you can imagine working there, being paid less than your counterparts in locations where the cost of living is much less. And so those are all things that the city of Philadelphia has to look for. And we're hoping that the city council and all the people there are going to join on. We hope that you, Marty, will have this issue out in front as the mayoral elections issues start to heat up going into the winter and into the spring. That you ask pointed questions about this and asking how they could defend either maintaining the status quo or in fact advocating for making the organization even larger than it is right now. So those are the things, Marty, you can help us with.
Okay, let me see what Josh from Philadelphia has to say. Josh, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, hi. Thanks so much today for the conversation. It's really informative. I'm a builder here in Philadelphia. I got my license. And what I was discussing with an inspector recently was that unlike the mechanical contractors, plumbing and electric, where they're required to take a certificate, a course of some sort, builders in Philadelphia, all you really need is a certificate of insurance and an application to be a contractor, which is about $1,500, give or take. Whereas you don't have to take any certification of passing International Builders Code or anything. And I was wondering, so if LNI is looking into that, because essentially anybody could be a general contractor and pull a permit for new construction building.
Well, Josh, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I'm going to give that to you, Peter Vira.
Because, thank you. That's at the heart of our observation or investigation, I should say, is that we want to put in requirements. City Council has added some licensing. You have to have insurance. But in addition to that, you're probably going to have to demonstrate a history of doing demolitions back several years. They're going at that in a good way. You're right. You can come in and put down $1,500 and go out and tear down an 8-story building. That is really the heart of the problem.
Mm. Josh, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Peter, I'm going to go back to you and also go back to something that Councilwoman Maria Quinones Sanchez said, and she served on this panel. Her response was, I don't think the report makes a good case for the need. This is the idea of splitting LNI into two. That's the one area I believe it contradicts itself because it says it needs more collaboration, and yet we're going to set up another bureaucracy. Can you respond to that?
I don't really understand that comment. We said break it apart, make the lines of communication direct, put it and separate the duties, make one safety, one for administration, and it'll work. It's required to have good persons doing it. But just saying, well, it's a contradiction, I can't understand that.
Mm. I think the idea is that if you split it into two departments, will you get the kind of communication that you think you need?
These persons don't have to communicate. Yes, they can. And they're going to be people, we think, who will run this, who are qualified and good leaders and will communicate when they have to. We're simply separating it so that the persons who are inspecting buildings for safety or construction don't have to go out and also inspect a food service cart.
Well, we could go on, but we do have to end our conversation. Peter Vira, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times. Glenn Corbett, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Morty.
You're welcome. And he's chairman of the Mayor's Special Independent Commission to evaluate the Department of Licenses and Inspections. They just released a report. Peter Vira, executive director of the commission. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. You can find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscoe. Thank you so much for joining us. And do stay with us for hour two. We'll be right back.